99.1 The Esports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show.
Wow!
In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
Don't you know that I'm
In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. Happy Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving night, and MMA continues. It's year-round with the UFC, so we have no days off, and we are here for you. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for listening to us. I'm Vince Ferrara, my co-host, doing his thing on Thanksgiving. He's always working anyway, and that's our man. He is the matchmaker of Valor Fighting Challenge, Mr. Tim Loy. Tim, happy Thanksgiving to you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Vince. Gobble, gobble. No rest for the wicked. Let's get to some fights.
That's right. And we will visit, coming up in our next segment, our interview segment. How about this? You hear him in the octagon in the UFC as an octagon announcer. He's a cage announcer with Invicta. And you hear him doing some boxing as well with Golden Boy Promotions. He is fantastic. Joe Martinez joins us in the next segment, our interview segment. Excited to talk to Joe. Also, we will preview this weekend's Vegas show for the UFC as they continue to churn out events. It's Blades and Lewis in the main event. We'll break down that entire card. And we're going to look ahead to the rest of the UFC calendar as another big fight has been set in the coming months. We'll tell you about that on the way. Winners and losers from this past week's show, UFC 255. And our first in our big three, we break that down. UFC 255, it was Davison Figueiredo, the champion, dominant, guillotine, first round, minute 57, victory over fourth-ranked contender Alex Perez to retain Figueiredo's flyweight title. Boy, we wondered, Tim, whether Figueiredo would continue to look dominant like he did in winning the strap. He certainly answered that with a definitive yes.
He sure did. You know, I think there was a lot of people that were trying to build Alex Perez into a credible challenger here, but Figueiredo just wasn't hearing it. You know, Perez came out guns blazing, as we knew he would, but, you know, got in there deep on a takedown, ended up getting his neck stuck in the guillotine, and it didn't last long after that.
It wasn't that long ago. It was earlier in 2020, Tim, where we were wondering what's going on with this flyweight division. It looks so weak. This is the kind of guy at the top that the UFC's really been clamoring for.
Yeah, they needed someone that gives a little bit of flair to the division, gets finishes. You know, we don't necessarily have to look forward to a grinding decision win from Figueiredo when he goes out there. He's got some swagger. He's definitely a guy that is confident. And, you know, knocking off Alex Perez, we've got a little bit of inventory in the cupboard for some upcoming challengers still, it looks like. So maybe if he goes on a little bit of a run, we entice Cejudo back for a mega fight.
So I was going to ask you, what is next for Figueiredo in terms of a challenger? Is it man who won in the undercard that we'll get to a little bit more later in beating Brandon Royval? Is it Moreno that's next up?
It is. They've already announced that. You know, it's going to be on UFC 256. I believe it is the fastest turnaround in for a UFC champion in history to turn around to defend his title, as well as the fastest turnaround for a challenger, as both guys will be turning around to fight on UFC 256, which is December 12th. I guess that's 3 weeks. 3 week turnaround it is from when this fight went down. But yeah, neither guy took any damage in that fight. Brandon Moreno, we'll talk about him in just a second. But a lot of people thought he should have been the guy getting this opportunity to begin with.
Well, let's go ahead. While we're talking about those flyweights, talk about Moreno. Really impressive over Roy Val. I kind of thought that Roy Val might be able to pull off another upset, but with a second left in that first round, Moreno gets the victory. And man, Roy Val, with that shoulder popped out, that was pretty nasty.
Yeah, I was on the wrong side of that one. I'd rode Roy Val every fight thus far, and he'd gone really well for me. But at the same time, Moreno's just really good. Even though Roy Val had that injury happen so late in the first round, it was very dominant the whole time for Moreno. So, you know, he took no damage, and I think he's going to give Figueiredo a good run for his money. I still lean towards Figueiredo, but I think Moreno should be a little bit more dangerous proposition than Perez.
All right, co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko defended her women's flyweight title. Unanimous decision, 49-46 on the judges' scorecards. This was strange because Valentina was fighting with grappling more so than her dominant striking that a lot of us expected. So Valentina didn't look dominant. There's certainly times where Maya was in control. So you look at it, and it was Valentina not looking dominant, yet she won all but one round, basically. What'd you make of Valentina Shevchenko's win?
Well, you know, it was probably one of the least enthralling fights on the card. I'll say that. Not the most exciting fight by any means. I thought that it showed that Maya is capable of hanging at this top tier, if anything. But ultimately, Shevchenko, to my surprise, took the grappling to her, going for takedowns early, and she kind of played into Maya's realm for those first couple, three rounds, really, before she really started kind of teeing off. I think maybe she wanted to drain Maya maybe a little bit, get her wrestling, get her grappling, and then in the later rounds pull away. It felt to me like it was a lot closer fight than it was when we got to the fourth round, you know, just the way the action of the fight was going. But ultimately, she didn't only drop the one round, but you don't see her dropping any rounds, usually.
Right. Well, and then Valentina in the fourth and fifth rounds, fifth especially, then she went back to her stand-up and her striking, which is so precise and devastating. And then she really started to pick apart Maya at that point. Once she knew, it was like, all right, let me use this as an exhibition, like my sister, to try to work on another aspect of my game and see if I can win without even using my strengths.
Yeah, no doubt, because Maya actually showed to be able to match her physicality, really. It wasn't like Shevchenko was able to just toss Maya around. You know, she had to grind on her some and kind of wear her down over time.
Do you have a next challenger for Valentina in mind?
Got to be Andrade, I think, now. I think had Calvillo won her fight, which we'll talk about here shortly, then she would be in the conversation. But I got to go with Jessica Andrade at this point. Chookagian wasn't competitive against her at all. And, you know, Chookagian is number two coming off of a win. So, yeah, I got to go. I would imagine Lauren Murphy's going to want to put her name in the conversation as well. But I think it's got to be Andrade. Her wins are just better.
And speaking of Caitlin Chookagian, she was dominant in a women's flyweight win over fourth-ranked contender Cynthia Calvillo. So Chookagian, you know, locked in with that number two. She clearly won all the rounds and was in control. She doesn't have that knockout, spectacular finish type of style. So I think that holds her back potentially a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, we've seen her already give it a shot, you know, against Shevchenko. She had nothing for her. You know, her style is just, she's a tall, rangy striker. You know, she kind of shouts every time that she strikes, but she doesn't ever really hit hard enough to do the damage to put someone down. So she's got to outpoint you, and it's going to be hard to outpoint Shevchenko over five rounds.
Yeah, agree with that. Also on the main card, Tim Means beat Mike Perry, Paul Craig over Mauricio Hua. We mentioned Brandon Moreno and defeating Brandon Royval. Talk about Joaquin Buckley's win over Jordan Wright momentarily. Valentina's sister, Antonina Shevchenko, pretty dominant win over Ariana Lipsky, second round TKO, another women's flyweight bout. I thought Antonina looked really sharp in working on her ground game on top of her being a really good striker too.
Yeah, because, you know, the last time out, we just talked about Caitlin Chookagian, you know, how she got dominated by her, by the champ, Shevchenko. Well, she was equally dominant over Antonina Shevchenko on the ground. So I thought that Shevchenko, Antonina Shevchenko's ground game just wasn't on the level. It's obvious that she's worked on that a whole lot here. As she was dominant on the ground in, over Ariane Lipsky.
A couple other fights, you had wins by Nicholas Darby, Alan Joban, Kyle Daukaus, Sasha Poliznikov. Anything stood out from any of those fights, which I thought were all entertaining and interesting in their in different ways?
I thought Alan Joban looked really good in his comeback. He'd been gone for 2 years. He's 38 years old. He does some commentary and stuff like that for UFC now. So he's a guy that I think a lot of people thought that his best days were behind him. But I thought he looked good against a young Jared Gooden, who was the bigger, more athletic, stronger guy. His boxing looked great. And then I thought that it was a bit of an upset in that first fight. Lewis Cosey was one of the heaviest favorites on the card and almost knocked out Sasha Poliznikov in the first round. But then he gassed, and then Poliznikov turned it on the last two rounds. But that was an exciting fight and started my night off on a really rough note.
All right. And then that Rodriguez-Dalby decision was kind of questionable, wasn't it?
I didn't like that one for sure. Rodriguez, another heavy favorite here. The stats show Rodriguez outlanding Dalby every round, and Dalby being 0-7 on takedowns. I just don't and didn't have a lot of control time. You know, Rodriguez probably could have done more to you know, convince the judges. But at the same time, I didn't think Dalby did that much to be able to earn a unanimous decision win. That was egregious.
All right, number two in our big three here on In the Cage MMA Radio. I'm Vince Ferrara with Tim Loy on 99.1 The Sports Animal here on the Thanksgiving edition of the show. All right, winners and losers. Tim, you start with your winner. Who you got?
Man, I'm going to go with Brandon Moreno just because of the benefits that he reaps from this. We already know he gets out there. He gets no damage, gets a dominant win over Brandon Royval. He was a hype prospect. And now 3 weeks later, he's going to the next pay-per-view to get a title crack at Davis and Figueiredo. So I don't think that, you know, he could have asked for much more out of this.
My winner, and there are some really good candidates on there. Thought about Antonina Shevchenko, as we just talked about, but I'm going to go with middleweight Joaquin Buckley. This was a validation type of fight and performance for him, that he wasn't just a spectacular, fluky back heel kick finish over Impa Kasunganai, that he was more than that. And to get a really impressive and vicious finish on Jordan Wright, who was a good fighter, and he had his moments in the fight too, to do that against Wright, I think it really showed another level for Buckley. Man, he looks the part. I mean, he's what the UFC would love to be able to promote, a guy with incredible physique and power, one punch or strike and kick in his case too, knockout power. I think they can very, very much push him with what he's done.
Yeah, I think he's in a real nice position with UFC now where they're going to put him in spots to shine. And you can kind of see this little rivalry with James Krause starting to get legs. I'd like to see that fight with him and James Krause. You can tell they don't like each other.
Yep, no question. They talked about it afterwards as well. All right, I'll start with my loser, and I'm going to go in the main event with Alex Perez. You know, like you said, going into this, people were trying to give reasons why Perez would be a challenge for Figueiredo, as he was the replacement for Cody Garbrandt. I didn't buy it. I don't think you did either. Not that Perez is a bad fighter. It's just Figueiredo, the way he is, his level right now, Perez just doesn't sniff it. And he was finished in the first round pretty dominant. And I don't think, speaking of sniffing, I don't think Perez is going to sniff another title opportunity anytime soon, even though, you know, he was fourth ranked going in that fight.
I think you're 100% right there. It's definitely a tough loss for him, and he's going to have a long way to climb back up. For me, I'm going to go with Cynthia Calvillo, who, you know, was kind of in the title talks with a win here. I think she would have had an argument maybe for that next crack at Valentina, but she just loses so one-sided to Chookagian and just not able to get the takedowns that she needs. And, you know, she goes from being in the talks of going for the title next to probably getting like a Lauren Murphy, which that fight was supposed to happen, and she had to pull out with COVID. So I could see a rebooking of that one where she'll have to get past another top challenger to be back in the conversation.
All right, our third in our big three stories. Tim, it's finally done. Conor McGregor is going to be back in the octagon January 23rd. He will have a rematch with Dustin Poirier. We've been discussing this for so long. They're finally going to do it. What's your reaction?
Yeah, it's about time. You know, it seems like we've been talking about this for months, but we finally got a date, January 23rd. The Conor McGregor show comes back to town. I'll be excited to watch it. I, you know, to me, Poirier doesn't really, you know, get my hype meter all the way up there, but it's always exciting to see Conor McGregor in action.
Yeah, this is about Conor McGregor. There's no doubt about it. And they'll sell Dustin's side of things to try to draw people in. I get that part of the promotion business. But UFC 257 is about Conor McGregor, so we'll have plenty of time to discuss it. Our next segment, we are going to talk to UFC Invicta Golden Boy Promotions PA announcer Joe Martinez. He will be in the octagon for the UFC in this Saturday's main event, Blades versus Lewis. Joe Martinez joins us next here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
Give thanks and praises to the Most High. Give thanks and praises so high.
In the Cage, MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. I'm Vince Ferrara. Tim Loy, my co-host, will rejoin us in the next segment. Excited about our next guest. You talk about versatility and accomplishing a lot in his career. You see him in the UFC as a octagon announcer, also a cage announcer, an Invicta ring announcer for Golden Boy Promotions, doing boxing, MMA, and has done baseball. So many things. We'll talk about all of it here in just a sec. We bring in Joe Martinez. Joe, Vince Ferrara here in Knoxville. How you doing?
What's up, Vince? I'm great, man. How are you?
Man, I'm awesome. Excited to talk to you. You have such a cool background, and obviously seeing you in the UFC and Invicta, and when you call boxing as well, big time respect for your work. Did you see yourself in this kind of fight sport role growing up, or is this where the career path has happened to take you?
No, it definitely has been where it's taken me. My aspirations as a kid were to get into, you know, sports casting, like news, you know, sports news, ESPN, you know, that type of stuff, sitting at a desk and seeing what other people are doing and talking about it. But this happened, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'll go with it. And here we are.
So what would you say your break was to get into fight sports, MMA and boxing? For some people, it was one big door open and then a bust through. And for others, you do a little bit here, you do a little bit there, and it sort of grows. How did it play out for you?
It all started with a lie. one little white lie. And it was a guy that I'd known and I just adore this man still today. Back in the 90s, I was doing college basketball at my alma mater, Cal State Fullerton, Go Titans. He goes, Joe, you got to get into boxing. I said, sure, yeah, that'd be great, but I don't know anybody. Well, he happened to work for the commission in California and dropped my name on a promoter who was upcoming and starting his first show. And he says, my nephew is a ring announcer and he can do the show for you. The guy ends up calling me and I said, yeah, I can do it. And I'm like, but who's my uncle? I have no uncles, you know, in California at the time. And he says, Dean Loheis. And I said, oh, yeah, my uncle Dean. He's great. I love him. And that's where it started, dude. So we've been rolling since, man.
Awesome. People see you in the UFC. Talk about what that experience is like when you're in the octagon.
Well, as you know, today is different. Yeah. With no fans, of course. But people ask me, like, what's it like announcing to nobody? But that's not true. It's completely false, because I believe our audience is larger than if we were in front of a crowd. But just to compare it, I announced minor league baseball for 22 years. And, you know, you come to a Tuesday, Wednesday night game in April or May, there's nobody in the stands. So I've been doing it for a long time, man. But it's a thrill, man, because you're talking about high level elite athletes at the top of their game for the most part. And seeing legends. I mean, I get to announce former, you know, world champions and up and coming guys. I had Conor McGregor before anybody knew who Conor McGregor was, you know, over at Cage Warriors in London, and seeing these guys grow and just the, the intensity and of course the hard work that goes into all this behind the scenes that nobody gets to see, I have a great respect for it. And I seriously enjoy every minute they allow me to do it.
You also work for Invicta, and you mentioned having worked for Cage Warriors as well. And it's a different dynamic right now without the fans. But what is the feel like inside the arena for Invicta versus the UFC? How is it from your vantage point?
It is different because you're not getting the reciprocative response. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're putting out that energy and it's not bouncing back to you, you're like, okay, I guess nobody's ready. Because, you know, my thing is the judges are ready, the fighters are ready. Make some noise if you are ready. Yep. And nobody makes noise. So I had to change that up a little bit, more for the fans watching at home. You know, hashtag I'm ready or whatever. I don't say that, of course, but
right.
But yeah, the dynamic is completely different now. But it doesn't change the way I carry what I do and present the fighters. It's always been the fighters first. I've never been a big showman and check me out type of guy, yeah. Which is why I don't have social media, why I don't, nobody knows where I am until they see me, mm-hmm. because I don't put things out there for anybody to ingest, partly because I don't think it's that important, honestly. I love what I do, and I'm blessed to be in the position I'm in, and I'll keep, like I said, I'll keep doing it as long as they allow me to.
Awesome. We're visiting with Joe Martinez. He is a octagon announcer in the UFC, cage announcer in Invicta, ring announcer for Golden Boy Promotions. You've seen him on TV many a time and does an awesome job. So, Joe, in Golden Boy Promotions for boxing, compare the boxing vibe when you're announcing versus what people see today with great popularity in MMA, especially with the UFC.
I have a great respect for both sciences. You know, the sweet science, I grew up a boxing enthusiast. I think all of us did, yeah. Until MMA took the scene, you know, took the stage in the 90s, early 90s, late 90s, of course, it became more popular. And I think I'll always be a boxing purist at heart. But what I love most about MMA is the ambiguity, you know, that unknown factor that there's no real A side, B side. Yeah, there's rankings out there, but a great wrestler can take out a boxer. A great boxer can take out a guy that's a Muay Thai guy. You just never know. You know, that unknown factor is so strong in MMA compared to boxing, where there's a lot of body bag fights, you know, to build records. And that kind of bugs me a little bit because you're building the guy up to get to 18, 19, 20 and 0 before he'll really fight a class opponent.
Right.
In MMA, you don't have that opportunity to grow. Yeah, there's an amateur arena. For the most part, you've got a short span of a career and you got to get going, and hopefully you're in a good class, a good school with good coaching, and you explode on the scene quickly.
Joe Martinez joining us here on In the Cage MMA Radio. I'm Vince Ferrara on 99.1, the Sports Animal on In the Cage MMA Radio. We've seen fighters, while you guys are announcing them, like they want to do the fist bump and things like that. How spontaneous is that? Or do they like get you in the back and like, hey, while you're announcing me, I want to give you a fist bump? How does that dynamic typically work?
Honestly, I never know. I tend to walk closer to the red corner because it's my second introduction and I have to make way for the camera to hit the referee. Mm-hmm. So I have to get out of the referee's way. So as I walk closer to the red corner, I never know if the dude's going to freaking do a cartwheel or or fist bump me or anything.
Yeah.
And I've announced a winner before and dudes will be doing backflips in front of me. I'm like, whoa, you know, I'm not ready for this stuff. So I guess you got to really know your fighter.
Yeah.
You got to know who you're introducing because they're all different. They bring a different flavor. Some guys are intense. Holly Holm walks back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, that's her thing. And I've just always noticed that about her. It's Eric, your boy Anders.
He's been on with us. Yep.
Yeah. He does the fist bump. And I think that's cool. But I don't demand it. I walk over there. If they happen to come out and drop a fist on me, I'm like, cool. Right on, dude. I probably look cool doing that. But yeah, it's pretty neat.
That's cool that you dropped your boy. We had him on just a couple of weeks ago. It was unfortunate that his fight was canceled due to medical. But what's sort of your biggest takeaway from your time being a baseball announcer?
I've always had a great passion and love for it. Mm-hmm. And to get to work in that capacity for 22 years, I mean, I had the best office in life. You know, I'm staring at the yard every day,
yeah.
and watching these kids come up and make it to the bigs and see the struggles and just that path to their own glory is exciting. You know, I was a career Z-baller. I had two opportunities to announce Major League Baseball, like one in 2000, another one later, 2012, 2013. In minor league baseball, for me, like that was where I felt the best because I had the most freedom. I could be myself. You don't even know who I am, Vince. You know, people see Joe Martinez and they think, oh, this guy is just straight laced, clear, you know, does his thing. In baseball, it was a whole nother animal for me. I'm a PA announcer in baseball, in minor league baseball. And man, the antics that, you know, we come up with just really allowed us to all express who we really truly are and, and show our personality. If you ever get to talk to any former guys that came through Lake Elsinore and that are in the bigs and they talk about Lake Elsinore, I'm hoping they'll say Joe Martinez or Joe Mar. Oh yeah, that guy was incredible. He's crazy. But yeah, we had a great time, man. It was fun.
And we're here in Knoxville. Talk about any of the former University of Tennessee baseball players that you've connected with and called games for through the years.
First one that I can always remember will love is Chase Headley. I mean, the dude was an absolute beast with us. And then seeing him make it to the bigs was cool. And we had a pretty good rapport. So I went down actually with a few guys and we watched his major league debut down in San Diego, just cheering for him. But then you got Serrano, man. He was our coach at Cal State Fullerton. And you guys dropped some money on him and he took off. He left the state school system for the bread.
Yeah.
So, good for him, though. I mean, that was cool. I know he's not there anymore, but I think West Coast baseball, you know, it's always been fun. It's been the heartbeat. And now it's kind of shifted over to SEC and, and ACC. You know, guys are real strong out here on the East Coast. We're trying to maybe catch up now, which is odd for me to say.
Whether it's Invicta, Golden Boy, UFC, what's coming up with your schedule?
I've got Saturday night, the heavyweights in Vegas, UFC.
Awesome.
So I'll be out there. Yeah. Derek Lewis, the Black Beast in the center of the octagon. He's always a joy to watch. You never know what you're going to get.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it'll be fun.
Man, we'll look for you then, and we'll preview it in our next segment. Joe Martinez from Invicta Golden Boy Promotions and, of course, the UFC ring, cage, and octagon announcer. Joe, real pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. We'll look for you on Saturday. You're the best. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Vince. It was a pleasure.
All right. That is Joe Martinez. We will preview that card that Joe will be the octagon announcer for next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the sports animal. I'm Vince Ferrara alongside Tim Loy, the matchmaker. Thanks to Joe Martinez who joined us in our last segment. And Tim rejoins us now and want to remind you, we post our podcast on our website after each show. It goes at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Just go to either the audio section or the show section and you can go back and listen to all of our archived shows there for you, or you can subscribe to our podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get them. Just subscribe, rate, share, and tell your friends that there's a weekly MMA show here in Knoxville, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Follow Tim, follow him on Facebook at Tim Loy, and then you can hit me up on Twitter at Vint Sports, and we appreciate you listening to us here on a special Thanksgiving edition of the show. All right, time to preview UFC Vegas 15, Blades versus Lewis, this coming Saturday night in Vegas. The main event, second-ranked heavyweight Curtis Blades, fourth-ranked heavyweight Derek Lewis. I joke with you all the time because you're not enthralled about watching Curtis Blades fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are two guys that I think it makes some sense to match them up. Look, they are still heavyweights that people have talked about. So I get it from a main event standpoint. How do you see this fight playing out with these two?
We kind of know what the path to victory is for both guys. Curtis Blades is going to want to use his wrestling. He's going to take Derek Lewis down. He's going to want to grind him, and he's going to want to get a decision. He'll have no apologies if it is a not an entertaining fight. That's not really what he cares about. He'll say that, you know. Derek Lewis, you know, he's going to be dangerous till the last bell. You know, you think back to that Alexander Volkov victory where he was dominated on the mat until he wasn't. And then all of a sudden, Volkov's asleep, you know. So over five rounds, if Lewis's gas tank holds up, I think every round starts standing. He's going to be live until he gets taken down. I still got to lean with Blades just stylistically. He's a heavy favorite. He's 3.5 to 1, give or take. So I'm going to lean Blades for my official pick, but, you know, it wouldn't spoil my night to see Derek Lewis spoil the party and knock Blades out of contention.
Curtis Blades, is there any chance that he comes out with any sort of different approach in order to prove the doubters wrong, that he isn't just a wrestler? Would he dare do that against Derek Lewis?
I don't think so, man. I think that he's going to play it safe. He knows that he's up there kind of back on the cusp of another shot at the top, and he's going to play it safe and make sure he gets there. I don't think that, like I said earlier, he's not apologetic about his style. He's going to go out there and he's going to do what he's got to do to win. And in this particular case, he behooved himself to get this thing to the ground and out of Derek Lewis's wheelhouse.
You could probably get some big money, Tim. I'm sure you have these kind of access to betting on fights, but one of these two guys winning by submission, you could get some big money, because the two of them combined have 4% finishes via subs. Blades none, Lewis 4%. I mean, it's just, that's not what either one of these guys do.
No, Blades, I guess there is the offhand chance that if Lewis just gives him his back, he may just sink in a choke. For the record, Blades by submission is 5.5 to 1. Lewis by submission is 20 to 1. And okay. Lewis by submission, you can save your money there probably. But maybe take a crack at Blades. But most likely, I don't see him getting to a position where he's going to go for that. I think he'll stay on top in half guard, you know, and just kind of grind.
Co-main event, Devin Clark is the opponent, who's unranked in the light heavyweight division for 6th-ranked Anthony Smith. This is a get Smith back on track fight, isn't it?
It has to be. You know, this is a big step down for Anthony Smith compared to what he's been fighting. He's been fighting the top of the division, but man, he's been getting hammered out there. He's getting his teeth knocked out. You know, he's like, at what point is Anthony Smith like taking too much damage? You know, to where you start wondering if he can hang with, you know, even mid-tier guys like a Devin Clark. And Devin Clark is, you know, he's a tough guy. He's a guy that went out there against Alonzo Menifield and had some issues early in the fight, but then he weathered that storm and ended up gassing Alonzo Menifield out and came back and got the decision. So I do think that Devin Clark is game, but, you know, yeah, this is definitely a fight that Anthony Smith should get, and if he doesn't get, then we start having some questions.
No doubt. All right, rest of the card, main card, Josh Parisian against Parker Porter in a heavyweight bout. You got 15th ranked Amir Albazi taking on Zalgas Zumagulov in a flyweight bout. Miguel Baeza against Takashi Sato in a welterweight bout. And then a pretty interesting featherweight bout between Spike Carlisle and Bill Algeo. What jumps out about the rest of the main card there, Tim?
Not a whole lot of, you know, name value, but there is some excitement potential. I think Josh Parisian's a guy that will likely knock out Parker Porter, and it'll be a slugfest while it lasts. Miguel Baeza and Takashi Sato are both heavy-handed sluggers. That's another action fight. And then my sneak peek, fight of the night, if you will, I think will be Bill Algeo and Spike Carlisle, because Carlisle just goes for it, man. He's the alpha ginger, you know. He goes out there and is just 0-60. For the first round or two, and then he kind of fades, but he's still dangerous even after he begins to fade. Algeo, we just saw him as a big underdog in his UFC debut to Ricardo Lamas, remember, and he lost that fight, but he made it a lot more difficult for Ricardo Lamas than what anybody really wanted to see. So I think he'll be game, and that'll be a good action scrap.
Undercard, there's a little bit of local flavor. I'll let you discuss it. You got a VFC alum and then a Tennessee mid-stater.
Yeah, we have two fights on the undercard that have some Southern flair to them. Of course, Nate Maness, Kentucky fighter, 12-1, taking on Cool Hand Luke Sanders out of Nashville. So, you know, we've seen Luke Sanders several times. Maness just debuted in the UFC. So that's good action scrap. And then Jonathan Pierce from up in the Tri-Cities will be going for his first UFC win. Came up short against Joe Lozon about a year ago, but now he'll be taking on a guy that he should have some size on, and Kai Kamaka, originally slated to be Sean Woodson. And now Woodson withdrew. It's Kai Kamaka. The thing is, Kai Kamaka, while very tough and very quick, is typically a bantamweight. And so 135 coming up to fight a big 155 in Jonathan Pierce, maybe giving up some size, although he will have some speed. So that'll be another exciting one.
That is UFC 15, Blades versus Lewis. And our guy, Joe Martinez, who we talked to in the last segment, will be in the octagon as your octagon announcer. All right, coming up in our next segment, we are going to take a look at the rest of the UFC calendar, not only in 2020, but beyond that, as fights are continuing to be added to these upcoming shows, plus what's going on in Bellator and Invicta and Valor Fighting Challenge. Exciting shows on the way for you in late 2020 and 2021. We'll break it all down next on In the Cage MMA Radio on our Lightning Round on 99.1 D Sports MMA.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick, but we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal with Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. It is Lightning Round time, and Lightning Round each week is powered by KMAA. They offer classes for children, self-defense, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, MMA, personal training, kickboxing, yoga, and martial arts. For the in-depth training at KMAA, many of the students have catapulted themselves into professional careers in the UFC, Bellator, and Invicta fighting promotions. They will help you achieve your goals. Call them at 865-771-9775 or visit their website at knoxmma.com. They're located in Knoxville at 4201 Martin Mill Pike. Appreciate the great people over at KMAA, and see their fighters so often in Valor Fighting Challenge. Tim, we got some breaking news we're going to drop on people right now regarding Valor Fighting Challenge. Tell us about that December show and then your breaking news after that.
Yeah, of course, next weekend, next Friday, December the 4th, is Valor 76, and that is going to be our first all-Thai show, all-Thai, Muay Thai kickboxing show, so there'll be no grappling, it's all striking. We're doing 2 8-man, one-night tournaments to crown champions at 145 and 170. We've got some of the best kickboxers from the East Coast coming into Knoxville. That'll be a good time. And then, of course, for January, originally we were scheduled to do a card on January the 9th at the COD 9 Joe. And, of course, I get carried away, as I'm apt to do from time to time, and made, like, some crazy amount of pro fights. I think we had 15 pro fights set, and it became apparent that if we were going to let the amateurs fight, we're going to have to add another show. So we're going to do a doubleheader for Friday, January the 8th, Saturday, January the 9th. Cotton Eye Joe, we'll have back-to-back. It would be amateurs on Friday night, pros on Saturday night, including a big main event, that rematch between Greg Hopkins and Jason King for that welterweight title. So we're excited for it, man. It's going to be a busy next few months.
Yeah, love it. Exciting stuff. How about that? With Valor Fighting Challenge going back and doing it bigger and better than ever. Here in Knoxville at the Cotton Eye Joe. All right, last week you had Bellator 253, Caldwell versus McKee getting the win in that main event. We saw Benson Henderson take another L. What were some of your biggest takeaways from that Bellator 253 show?
Man, it's rough to see Ben Henderson just losing regularly like this now, especially to mid-level guys. So it's unfortunate to see that. I don't know how much more he's got left in him. But I'm certainly impressed and surprised even in AJ McKee, who moves to 17-0 with a very, very quick neck crank submission over Darian Caldwell, who is just a highly decorated wrestler, one of the toughest guys AJ McKee's beaten. And now he'll move on to that featherweight Grand Prix final against Patricio Pitbull. Pitbull, which will be a level up even more.
All right. And then Invicta last week, FC 43, Hope Chase, Valor Fighting Challenge alum with a W there.
Yeah, man, she's always exciting. She gets the win, a knockout win over Brittany Cloudy, who's also very tough and actually has been in our cage as well in the past as an amateur. But yeah, Hope Chase, always exciting. She, I don't know, sorry, Hope didn't knock her out. She submitted her. She got a rear naked choke. After dropping her, though, she did drop her with a big overhand. But Hope Chase, always exciting, flashy striking, and you know, congrats to her.
No doubt. And then upcoming shows next week, you've got UFC Vegas 16, Hermanson versus Holland. How about Kevin Holland, who's racked up wins, an opportunity for him to go 5-0 in 2020, and now he's in a main event against Jack Hermanson.
It's incredible, man. This whole COVID thing has made stars out of some people. There's some people that have really kind of ridden the wave by being able to stay active and, you know, fight so often. And Kevin Holland's gone on a hot streak here. And now he's fighting Jack Hermanson and a win there. Man, you know, we're talking about a top five fight from there. So, you know, that's going to be a really good one. That's an exciting fight.
Yeah, not a deep card in terms of the number of fights that have been announced on it. And then, you know, after that,
we know that OSP's on that card.
That's right. You're right. OSP, his next fight, Jamal Hill, I believe.
Nate Landwehr's on that card as well.
Okay. How about that? Well, maybe we'll effort to get some of those guys on next week's show. Bellator 250.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Cody Durden, too, though. Cody Durden, Nate Landwehr, and OSP on that card, yeah.
All right. We may have three interviews next week. We'll work on that. Bellator 253, McFarland versus Velasquez. That is on December 10th as Bellator continues to roll on the CBS Sports Network. And then UFC 256. Tim, this was supposed to be Petr Yan and Aljamain Sterling, and that fight is now off.
Yeah, it's unfortunate to hear. We were just talking about, you know, can that card carry a pay-per-view? And now we're not going to get to find out. That's where we're going to get Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueroa now in the main event. So Figueroa will now headline back-to-back UFC pay-per-views.
How about that? And as you mentioned, the quickest turnaround.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a fun fight. I think it certainly does lessen the impact of it from a pay-per-view standpoint, I think, but you still got some other good fights on there as well, you know, with Tony Ferguson in action against Charles Oliveira.
And then the following week, UFC Vegas 17, how about Edwards versus Chimaev as the main event?
Yeah, you know, I've seen worse, but Chimaev is really taking a big step up here with Leon Edwards, and a win over Edwards will put him into top 10 talks, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked last week to John Gooden about Edwards and Chimaev. Boy, that car, Chaos Williams, who just won last week, is back on that car. You're seeing a lot more continue these quick turnarounds for fighter Greg Hardy is back. Steven Thompson's on that card. And then that'll be it for 2020 for the UFC. And then UFC 257. There'll be others, I think, in early January, but Poirier versus Connor. And then UFC 258, Weidman versus Uriah Hall. Based on your reaction to Uriah Hall for the last time against Anderson Silva, I don't know if that's exciting you too much for February 13th.
I mean, Vince, that for a UFC pay-per-view main event, I think that we're in trouble on that one, maybe. Yeah.
You're right. They have time to work on it, though.
Yeah.
So, and then give them the benefit of the doubt for now. But hey, Tim, awesome job. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the fam. And next week will be fight week for you and for a lot of us at Valor Fighting Challenge. So we'll preview that, look back on this weekend show. So enjoy the rest of the holiday, and we will talk to you next week.
You as well, Vince. Looking forward to it.
All right. That is Tim Lloyd, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I'm Vince Ferrara. Again, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Thanks for listening to us here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. This has been In the Cage MMA Radio. Good night.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.